you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. Thank you to all who have already begun registering for Develop. There is no cost associated with Develop, but it is a platform and an opportunity for anyone who desires to be used by God, whether that is from behind a pulpit, from behind a Bible study chart. And I'm just going to tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can teach a Bible study. If you've been baptized in His name, you can teach a Bible study. You can. Or whether it's in music or ushering, serving, that is a meeting that you do not want to miss. Of course, if you feel like giving an offering, we won't turn it down and we'll believe that God will bless you. So make sure that you register, and we are excited about all that God is doing. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, being Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Verse 12, "And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith," verse 13, "Jesus gave them leave." Notice, they needed his permission to stay, and they also needed his permission to leave. "And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They," the pigs, "were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea." I'm going to preach today the perilous plight of a pig. The perilous plight of a pig. Let's put our Bibles down and let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, I pray that your will would be accomplished in this place. Jesus, I pray that you would move in a mighty way, your wonders to perform. God, I pray that those who are not yet filled with your spirit would be filled with your spirit today. Jesus, I pray that those who have not yet been baptized in your name will choose to be baptized in your name for the remission of sins today. Jesus, we believe that your will is for all to come to you. And God, I pray that your word would find its mark and that we would draw ourselves closer to you, God, because we know and we believe that you are drawing us near to yourself even now in this place. We love you, we thank you, and we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. You can be seated. The perilous plight of a pig. The story that we read in the book of Mark is more than likely not unfamiliar. You have likely heard it before, or at least heard references made to it, if you've been around the church any length of time. And if you have not, that's okay. We're glad you're here now. So we're going to break it down a little bit for you this morning and talk about it. This particular passage is regarding a man whom we have come to call the demoniac. He is filled with demonic spirits. He is possessed. It is a very real thing. It's not something that we don't believe exists. We believe there are forces of good, being God and his angels, and there is also a counterfeit called the devil, who seeks to thwart God's plan, and he has since the beginning of humanity when he fell from heaven. And so this story of the demoniac is found not only in the book of Mark, but it is also found in the books of Matthew and Luke. It is interesting for us, if we're going to get the whole picture of all that this story is and means, then we must back up, and for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase, but Jesus has just performed miracles. He has been teaching, and he commands his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side, and there is a massive storm that arises on the Sea of Galilee. So powerful was it that they thought they were going to die, and they were men who, many of them had been fishermen. All of them, except for Judas, were natives of this region. They all understood the weather patterns. They all understood the way that the Sea of Galilee worked. Many of them had made their living on the sea, so they were not unfamiliar. This was familiar territory. They understood how to maneuver a boat. They understood how to be captains. They understood how to navigate the tumultuous waves. But this was not a storm like any other storm they had been in. If we were to read the other gospels' accounts of this storm, then we would find language that indicates that this was more than just a natural storm. This was stirred by the depths of the spirit world. And I'm not preaching today about some hocus pocus, but we need to understand that Satan knew they are going to experience spiritual victory. And so I must do everything that I can to put an end to this. And the story of the demoniac is immediately following the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples had thought they were going to die. We've preached it before. We're going to preach it again. But there were spiritual implications attached to this storm. The forces of darkness understood we've got to stop them from seeing the power of God. We've got to try to eliminate them before they get to their final destination on this trip. If we were to study the Word of God today, we would understand that the sea and great waters are metaphors for the process of spiritual formation. There are times that it is necessary for us to, spiritually speaking, enter into the depths of the Spirit of God, where it is uncharted territory, and it is unlike driving down the highway. It is unlike driving down the roads and seeing road signs and being able to use a map and being able to punch in navigation and being able to have turn by turn directions. The sea was not that way. The great waters were not that way. Before the days of satellites and before the days of global positioning systems and so on and so forth, and longitude and latitude direction, then the sailors on the sea had one option as far as navigating, and that option was to get their eyes off of the waves and to focus on the heavenly bodies known as the stars, and to guide the ship based upon their perspective of where the stars were at in the heavens. And so it is today that we must understand, if we find ourselves in great spiritual waters, it might feel tumultuous, and we may not know what's going to happen next, and we might not exactly know where to turn and what to do, but if we will get our eyes off of the waves, and if we will get our eyes up, David said, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He also said, lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. There is power when I get my eyes off of exactly what is in front of me and I get my eyes focused on God.
That's the whole point of looking up. I've got to get my eyes off of the waves, and I got to get my eyes on the Master.
In a different storm, at a different time, the disciples would see Jesus walking on the water. Peter would say, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come." And he said, "Come on." And Peter stepped out of a boat onto waves that were rolling, waves that were psychotic and tumultuous in nature. And he started walking on the water. It was miraculous. But in the middle of the miracle, Peter starts focusing again on the waves. And the only time he finds salvation in that moment is when he gets his eyes off of the waves and he gets his eyes back on Jesus. So the disciples are in a boat and they are experiencing tumultuous wind and tumultuous waves again. And they are forced to call Jesus. And Jesus steps to the forefront of the boat. I guess we call that the bow. We call that the bow. Stern's the back. Is the stern or is it the bow? Tell me. From here, the bow or the stern? The bow. Steps to the bow of the boat. And he says, "Peace, be still." He commands the wind and the waves, and all of a sudden the disciples, and you can hear it in their reaction, they understand, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? They understood at that moment this was more than just a natural storm. They understood him to be the God of glory. They understood that he just took control of creation. And he just took control of the forces of hell that were trying to destroy me. I've come to preach to us today. You might be in the storm of your life. You might be tossed to and fro, not understanding which way to turn. But if you'll call on the Master.
Amen.
The depths can be a place that are overwhelming. But what if that's the point?
That's right.
What if that is the point? There are no road maps. There are no road signs. There are no buoys that say no wake here. The storm and the depths don't care. The depths along with the wilderness are both places of spiritual formation. And Jesus is showing the disciples, "I'm taking you through this so then you'll understand the source of your strength, and so you'll draw closer to me. Don't let the storm go by without drawing closer to him. Don't allow the purpose of the storm to go by. We don't have to try to figure it out. What's God trying to teach me? What if we don't have an exact lesson? He just wants us to be dependent on him. What if in that moment the point is I got to trust him with my very life? I got to trust him with my very being. I come to preach to somebody today that you've got to learn to trust in him when it doesn't make sense. When there's more month than there is money, I gotta trust in him. When I'm heartbroken, when I'm confused, I gotta trust in him. When I'm overwhelmed, there's a rock that I can run to. When I don't know where the next check is gonna come from, when I'm living on fumes and not faith, I gotta tap back into faith. And I gotta say, I want God to be Lord of my life. No flesh can glory in his presence. And so maybe the point of the storm is that he's working that out of me. And I'm working that out of myself. And in the middle of that storm, the disciples had done all they could do. I believe they should have done all they could do. It wasn't the point of the storm for them to just kick back and say, "Well, We're going down with the ship. No, there was a fight for survival, and God understood the fight instinct for survival, but he was asleep in the boat. And when they woke up the master, all of a sudden they got clarity as to what was going on. And the Bible tells us that immediately they arrived at their destination safely. They immediately came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. The Gadarenes, it was the capital. The Gadara was the capital city of Pearia. It was situated on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat onto land, he steps out of the depths onto the terra firma. Immediately, in verse 2, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Immediately there met Jesus a man who lived in the tombs. That is as desperate and dehumanizing as it sounds. He lived in the graves, lived in the tombs. He was a man with an unclean spirit. And no, that didn't just mean that he hadn't taken a bath for a while. Although that was probably the case. He was probably pretty smelly too. So, don't be like him. Take a bath. Wash your hair. Brush your teeth. Use deodorant. Put on clean drawers. Just making sure you're awake. You're going to have victory. You got to smell good. You're going to win souls. You got to be smelling fine, not ripe. But it means that he had an impure and unclean and even a vicious spirit. The following verses go on to tell us that he lived among the dead. He lived in the tombs, and the citizens of the city had tried to bind him, but they could not. Not even with chains, the Bible tells us. Let me pause here and let me tell you that there are some things that you're just not going to be able to defeat on your own. You're just not going to be able to work through it on your own. You don't have the power in and of yourself to overcome. You don't have the power to break that habit on your own. You need the power of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to preach to us today. You need to stop trying to get it all right before you come to God. It's not going to happen. Young person, you need to stop trying to overcome that struggle on your own. I got to get this right before I could be around people, because I don't want them to know what's going on. Let me just tell you, you don't have to fight that fight on your own. You weren't created to fight that fight on your own. You weren't created to try to work through all of that on your own. When the disciples had done all they could do in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the fight, it still wasn't enough, even though they were professionals. They needed Jesus to step in and do what only Jesus can do. The people of Gadara had tried to bind him with chains. He had even tried to have the world's help, and the world could not help him. Do you hear me? Jesus can do what counselors cannot do. Jesus can do what therapists cannot do. Jesus can do what the psychiatrist cannot do. Jesus can do what the doctors cannot do. He is all powerful. They tried to work through it on their own. They couldn't work through it. There's just going to be some things you can't defeat on your own. You don't have the power in and of yourself. You can't break the habit on your own. You can't break the oppression on your own. You can't break the depression on your own. You need a moment with Jesus. That's what you need. You need a moment with Jesus. And so I'm here today as the voice telling you, you need a moment with Jesus. And in a moment with Jesus, anything is possible. Well, I just don't want somebody telling me what to do. I'm going to speak to that spirit here for a moment. Accountability. Accountability is not church hurt.
being held to a standard of holiness is not church hurt. It is not spiritual abuse. We've got to learn to be thankful for people who love us enough not to let us act a fool. The enemy wants you to be offended by those that God has called to protect you. But that's because the enemy knows the power and the strength of God that flows downward through proper alignment with spiritual authority. The anointing, the Bible tells us, is like the dew that flows from the top of Mount Hermon. It's up there just like a little trickle. But by the time it gets down to the bottom of the mountain, it is the roaring and rushing Jordan River. It's like the oil that flows down the head of Aaron, the ancient high priest. And it would cover his entire body. Let me tell you something about the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of spiritual authority. That is, it's not due to a man. But you should be loyal to the man. But the power of proper spiritual alignment is when I'm in line, there's nowhere for that spiritual authority and that anointing and the empowerment that comes from God to be broken. Nowhere. Because if you're in line with your spiritual authority, which in this case happens to be me, as your pastor, and I'm in line with my spiritual authority, my bishop, who, believe it or not, tells me things I don't want to hear. You've heard me say it before. There have been people that I've considered friends. The bishop said, don't get too close to that person. I didn't agree with him. I still don't agree with him. But I have limited that. Because it doesn't matter whether or not I agree with him. And so, if you're in line with me and I'm in line with him, and I want to be in line with him for myself, but also for you, and he's in line with his pastor, Bishop Wilson, and Bishop Wilson's in line with, you see it, all of a sudden now everything that God is pouring out to you is flowing down through them. And there's multiple layers of covering and protection. So you don't have to try to figure it out on your own. You bring it to Jesus. And the power of a moment with Jesus is that he can do what years and years and years of you trying to do it on your own have not been able to do. But I'm preaching to a group of people today that need to understand the power of your decision. One of the most powerful revelations I have ever been given, ever seen, ever had, aside from the salvation plan of the New Testament and the oneness of God, is found in Mark chapter 5. I saw it first when I was a teenager. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He could not be subdued. This man's condition was hopeless under the power of humanity. His condition, they had tried every resource they had had. Let's just put it into language that we can understand. They had tried to put him on welfare. They tried to put him on food stamps. They had tried to put him on disability. They had tried to put him in the psych ward. They had tried to pump him full of meds. They had tried to hospitalize him. They tried to put him in solitary confinement. They tried to do this. They tried to do that. They tried to rehab him, so on and so forth. But nothing worked. Everything was useless. Everything was just, it didn't accomplish what he needed to have accomplished. Although multiple attempts had been made, he could not be tamed. He could not be subdued. And always, in verse 5, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. He was crying. He wasn't happy with his condition. I think that's a misunderstanding that we have, that this guy was just out there having a great time. That he just loved this lifestyle.
He loved running through the tombs stark naked. Naked as a jaybird. They couldn't bind him with chains. They couldn't keep clothes on him. He'd rip them off. Crying, isolated. He can't be around his family. He can't be around his friends. He doesn't have any neighbors. All of his neighbors are dead because they won't complain about the noise. Surrounded by despair, surrounded by death. That's whatever sin he had been involved in. That's where it took him. There's so much to preach here. That side of Galilee was close to where the Olympics started, the Olympic Games and sports and the ancient Greek world, things called gymnasiums. That's where our English word gymnasiums come from. And men would go there to compete. And there's a lot to unpack here, so I'm just going to hit it quickly, and you can research it on your own. They would not play sports with clothes on. They would play sports stark naked. Which is why they tried to bind him with chains and fetters, but they didn't necessarily care that he was naked. And there was all kinds of homosexuality and sexual perversion that surrounded that region. So perhaps this guy was involved in that. I don't know. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. The point that matters is that whatever sin he had been involved in, the oppression was so bad that it caused him to isolate himself, and it caused him to be tormented. It caused him to not be able to contain him. He couldn't be tamed. He couldn't be subdued. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains. He was alone. He was in the tomb, surrounded by death and despair. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. You see, cutting isn't a new issue. And it's here described as a tactic of the enemy, a tactic of Satan that'll cause a person to be plagued with self-destruction. I just got to get some relief. I just got to get some relief. Cutting himself, and there are endorphins and chemicals released in the human brain that act like a cocaine trip when somebody is cutting themselves. And for a moment, the pain eases, and for a moment that person is rushed into chemically induced ecstasy. But the more they do it, the less they feel, and so they've got to do it more and more and more until eventually they cut too deep and they cut too long, and eventually they self-destruct. That's the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy is to have you self-destruct. That's where this man was at, and nobody could help him. But when Jesus... This is where the revelation comes into play. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he's not here yet, but a man that chains could not hold, a man that fetters could not bind, when he saw Jesus, the demons and devils couldn't stop him. I come to preach to some of us today. You need to make up in your mind, I see Jesus, and I will not be stopped. The moment of revelation I had as a teenager is that if all those devils, later on, I don't know what time is it. I got to hurry. Jesus would ask, so what's your name? He wasn't talking to the man. He was talking to the spirits. He said, we are legion, for we are many. The term legion has meant different things throughout history, but we believe, or it seems, that at this point in history, the term legion stood for 6,100 foot soldiers. And something like 726 horsemen, for a grand total of 6,826 Roman soldiers, is how the term legion was used. I don't want one. But this guy was possessed by potentially more than 6,000 devils. But 6,826 devils. Mind you, he was not filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We talk about free will for the chase like it's just a bad thing. Like, well, I get to choose. I'm going to choose whether or not I go to church today. I'm going to choose whether or not I listen to my parents. I'm going to choose whether or not I eat 3 Snickers bar instead of just one. Double stuffed Oreos. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm going to choose whether or not I eat 3 packages of mints or not. I mean, that's cool.
But we talk about free will, Brother Chris, like it's just, I can do what I want.
Come on.
All right.
Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now think about this. This dude had upwards of 6,000 devils in him. He did not have the Holy Ghost. But when he decided, I'm not living like this anymore, his free will was stronger than the demonic possession. Now, how powerful are you with free will and the Holy Ghost? You feel me? When he saw Jesus afar off, imagine in that man's spirit, those spirits crying out, screaming, "Don't go!" As blood curdling and crazy and twisted and just as nuts as you can imagine, I'm sure, 6,000 voices, 6,826 voices in his head, "Do not go! Don't go! Stop! That's not where you need to go!" And then, but in his humanity, and in his, he was created in the image of God, and he was created for relationship with God, and he sees Jesus afar off, and no doubt he had seen the storm swirling over the Sea of Galilee, and he could feel the pulses and the pulling of the spiritual darkness, and he understood there's a battle going on out there. And when he saw the victor of the battle set foot on his shore, he comes running out of the mountain and he said, "I want to worship. I'm worshiping at a new altar. I'm coming out of the graves. I'm coming out of the tombs." Long story short, I'm going to jump ahead and we'll come back. The pigs wouldn't put up with what this guy had put up with for a long time. So stop putting up with stuff that even pigs won't put up with. That's the crux of the message. But there is power when you and I determine in our lives, I'm pushing through. I'm pushing through the storm. I'm pushing through the turmoil. I'm pushing through the trial. I've got to get to where he's at. I got to get to where he's at. And when he gets there, the sound of worship causes a stir in his spirit. You've got free will, and you need to start using that free will to get closer to God. You need a revelation today of the power of running to Jesus. But I'm afraid we just get too comfortable. We don't get quite desperate enough. It scares me.
Come on, amen.
Seeing things that from the outside,
right,
from my perspective, should cause people to run to God.
Amen.
And I have thought, if that doesn't make them run to God, what's it going to take? So, you got an opportunity today.
Amen.
To draw the line in the sand.
Yes.
And say, not another day. I'm not living in the tombs another day. I'm not living in despair another day. This is a big one. This is a big one, so put your seatbelt on and brace yourself. I'm not going to live as a victim anymore. I choose. And this man that had upwards of 6,000 devils chooses on that day, before he was delivered, he was still possessed, but he made up his mind, "I am going to run the right way this time. I'm running to the master. And I'm going to worship him despite the confusion. I'm
running to the author and the finisher, because I know he's not the author of confusion, and I've been living in confusion, so I need him to finish my story. I need him to pick up the pen. I need him to start writing a new chapter. I need deliverance. He cried with a loud voice. I'm sorry, he starts worshiping. Verse 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Notice. He didn't give those spirits the pleasure of talking about how many of them there were. It's just as easy to cast out one as it is 6,826. Notice the man, the spirits inside of him, understood who this man was. And in the book of Mark, you'll find various accounts of Jesus casting out spirits and commanding those spirits, "Keep your mouth closed. Don't tell anybody who I am. My time is not yet." And the God that cast them out is also the God that can silence their mouths. And these spirits start screaming out, "You're the Son of the Most High God. Don't torment us before our time." They know there's a time coming when they're going to be cast into outer darkness. That when the day of the Lord approaches, he is going to reign supreme and victorious. He said, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We covered that. But Jesus is on the scene in that moment. And Jesus is on the scene here today. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country, for there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. They needed his permission to stay. And they needed his permission to leave. Satan did not have free will in this instance. He is under the power and the authority of God. He is sanctioned. He cannot move without God giving him permission. And without God, he can't stay without God's permission, and he can't go without God's permission. And I feel God in the house today saying it's time for some of you to experience freedom. If you'll get up and run to the master. If you'll stop, let's say there were over 6,000, then roughly each pig had about 3. Some of them had more, some of them might have had less, but about 3 if they evenly dispersed. And the pigs were like, "Nope, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Scoot over, I'm getting out." And they run down the mountain and they jump off a cliff, and 2,000 pigs commit suicide. Because they're not going to put up with the spiritual junk that this guy's been living with. Right. And so it started sparking my attention. And what is it about? I mean, they're just pigs.
Come on.
I mean, pork belly's delicious, but.
Right.
The whole smoker, all 34 inches of it, was filled with pork belly yesterday. What is it? Really? Pigs? Really? Pigs? I mean, it's more than Charlotte's Web. Cute little story. I mean, pigs stink. Pigs are ugly. They're delicious, but they're ugly. They're independent. They're hard to control.
All right,
they roll in the mud to keep themselves cool. You wash a pig and he runs right back to the mud. He's not afraid of the mess. He's not afraid of the mire. He feeds off of scraps and leftovers. But even the pigs are like, "Dude, we're not putting up with this junk. It ends here. Where they go after this, we don't know."
This isn't a lesson today in demonology or angelology. We're not studying the patterns, but we do understand that God is in control. We understand that God is supreme. He is sovereign. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And the point of this message today is the fact that if you will even just engage your free will and say, you know what, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't have all of the answers, but I'm tired of living like this. And there's one here today whose name is Jesus. And if I can get into his presence, if I'll run to him. You've been living with stuff that even the pigs won't live with. The devil didn't expect the pigs to run like they did, and they had to find a new home again. But the fact of the matter is that the pigs felt safer in the depths than they did in the high places. Even if God doesn't deliver us, if pigs are concerned about spiritual delivery, I don't think they are, we still won't have to deal with the devils. I mean, pigs are, you can research pigs on your own. Remember a story that my dad told me when I was little. I just had him tell it to me again a couple of weeks ago. When he lived in Kentucky, when they were pretty poor. They were real poor. Then along came my sister and bled them dry. Little like 500 square foot house, maybe 800, tiny. And they were so poor that there's so many like holes in the wall. And the house was in such a condition that my sister, as a baby, was laying on a quilt on the living room floor one time, and a mouse ran across and like sat down on the quilt with her and ran across. But my dad had pigs. And his pigs had pigs. And one, I think they're called a litter, actually, litter of pigs, piglets, are born, and there's this one pig that is what they call a runt. And he was the smallest, tiniest little pig there ever was. And pigs are mean, okay? There's a guy in Oklahoma in 2012 that his pigs knocked him over, and they killed him, and they ate him in like less than 10 minutes. Okay? They're mean. They get a taste of blood, and they go crazy. And so they're so mean, in fact, that when you have pigs, one of your responsibilities as a pig owner, pig farmer, is you have to cut their tails off. Well, that's mean. Well, it's a lot less mean than them ganging up on him and one pig grabbing his tail and distracting him while they literally kill the pig, and they're just cannibals. They eat each other. And it makes me not feel so guilty about bacon and pork belly and pork chops and pork loins and all that. But this pig was tiny, and every time it came time for them to feed, they would, and it started when they were still nursing, and they would just push him out. And they wouldn't let him eat. So he survived that, but he was still the runt, still the smallest. And they started feeding him in troughs then, once they got big enough. And they'd push him out. They wouldn't let him get close to the trough. And my dad said finally that he named this pig something along the lines of Fat Face. It was a name, and it's probably just not something I should say across the pulpit, but something along the lines of having a fat face. And this pig finally got tired of being hungry. And the trough sat at a little bit of an angle. One end was a little bit higher than the other. And the pigs would just, as soon as they would see him coming with the bucket of slop, they just rushed that trough and they'd push the runt out. And he was just too small to do anything about it. Well, one day, my dad goes out there, and he sees his pig fighting, pushing, trying to get through. I'm hungry. I want food. I'm tired of being pushed around. And my dad goes to throw that bucket of slop into that trough, and the end of the trough pops up a little bit, and he looks, and that little runt has climbed into the trough. And he's laying with his backside downhill. And as that slop starts rolling down that trough towards his mouth, he just opens his mouth. You can push me out if you want to, but y'all are too fat to get in the trough. I'm not going hungry another day. By the time he took him to market, the other pigs were about 220 pounds. Old Fat Face was 370 pounds. I'm not going to be pushed out anymore. I'm not going to be pushed around anymore. It's the perilous plight of the pig. It's got to make up his mind. I've been living with some things I don't want to live with anymore. I've been living with a mindset that I don't want to live with anymore. I've been living with some conditions that I don't want to live with anymore. So I'm going to run to the feet of Jesus. I'm running to the source of strength. I'm running to the master. I'm getting in the trough. You know what? You might try to push me out. I'm ready for some folks to start fighting over altar space. I'm tired of everybody getting to that spot first. That's my spot. I want to get to that spot first. I'm going to get to that spot before pastor even finishes preaching. I want to get to that altar. I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of trying to be tamed. I'm tired of trying to be bound by the world's methods and the world's ways. I'm tired of them shoving me around and pushing me around and pushing me down. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of living in despair. I'm tired of living around death. I'm tired of being crazy. I'm tired of being naked. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. And I saw Jesus. And Jesus is in the building today. And Jesus wants to know if you're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And if you're going to push your way to the front. See, there's power when you make up your mind, I'm pushing through. Ask the woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything. She had spent and been spent 12 years. She made up her mind, I'm not living like this anymore. I've got nothing else to lose. I've lost all my money. She spent all that she had. She's desperate. I've got to get to where he's at. If I could just touch him, if I can just get there, and she pushed her way through the crowd, and there's power, and he said, wow, somebody touched me. I felt healing virtue go out of me. I felt it when she touched me. I wonder today if we would make up our minds. I want him to feel me here. I want him to know that I'm here. He's able. He's able. I wonder if I got anybody that's willing to push through. I wonder if I got anybody that's willing to ignore the crowd and say, I want to push through like blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to cry out to him like Zacchaeus. I'm going to climb a tree. I want to see Jesus like David, anointed my head with oil. My burden is over. I'm pushing through the struggle. I'm pushing through the turmoil. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm the power. I've got a free will that says I'm going to live for God.
When I speak your